An 11-year-old girl riding an ATV through stop signs in Kotzebue eventually leads a police officer on a foot chase. The child is tasered when Corporal Lee Vergen catches up to her, not just once, but twice, the last time while Vergen has a hold of the child's elbow. The child's mother then files a complaint against the officer and a lawsuit against the city of Kotzebue, claiming excessive force, improper or negligent training and supervision. In this week's edition of Court Watch, local attorney Karen Godnick explains the case recently considered by the Alaska Supreme Court.
She ended up being charged with the misdemeanor crime of failing to stop when directed by a peace officer.
So this wasn't a bank robbery. This wasn't a severe motor vehicle accident with injuries. This wasn't anything else, right?
No, it was just more of a kind of minor traffic violation for failing to stop.
Okay. And was the girl hurt as a result of this?
Well, she had some pain associated with the taser, and she had one mark on her chest. But she claimed more so than the pain that only lasted 3 or 4 days, but she had nightmares and emotional issues lasting from it.
Okay, and what happened with the mother's complaint and also the lawsuit that she filed below?
The Superior Court found that the officer had qualified immunity, so he wasn't liable for his actions. And then the court found because he had qualified immunity, the city also was protected. And so on a summary judgment motion, which is the facts are clear and the law just needs to be applied to the facts. So instead of going through a whole trial, the court can just determine on summary judgment to dismiss a claim. And that is what the city and the officer asked for. And the court did dismiss the claims.
And qualified immunity, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but for the layperson, that's essentially just basic immunity from most lawsuits because of the person standing within the city. Is that right?
Right. Qualified immunity protects a public official from civil liability as long as their actions don't violate any laws or constitutional rights that a reasonable person would have known about.
Ah, okay. So there might be an exception here that maybe perhaps the mother was focusing in on?
Yes. And that's exactly what the Supreme Court went on to say, is that it wasn't so clear-cut, and that there are some factual disputes that need to be determined before the officer can be granted qualified immunity.
What are some of the exceptions, or what are the issues here that have to be considered?
So when you look at qualified immunity, there's a test, and you have to meet either the first part or the second part. The first prong is if the officer's conduct was objectively reasonable. And so if the court finds that his conduct was objectively reasonable, then he's entitled to qualified immunity. Or even if it wasn't objectively reasonable, if the officer reasonably believed his conduct was lawful, then he's entitled to immunity. Because what the court is saying is there are some times where the officer might have, you know, violated a law or a constitutional protection, but they reasonably believed that they were doing what was lawful. And so under that circumstance, they should get qualified immunity.
The allegation that excessive force was used in this particular case could be considered as part of an exception to that?
Yeah. So what the court was saying is that in the Superior Court did find that there was an issue of fact as to whether or not the officer's conduct was objectively reasonable. Because when you're looking at a summary judgment motion, you look at the facts in the light most favorable to the non-moving party. So in this case, that means that the court is going to look at the facts in the light most favorable to the girl and her mother. And she said, you know, she had stopped running. She wasn't trying to resist arrest. And so looking at that, taking the facts in that light, there is some question whether or not his action in tasing her was objectively reasonable. In order to make a decision on that, it really needs to go to a jury to decide. But what the Superior Court found was on the other prong, that the officer reasonably believed his conduct was lawful. And he found that there was no case law or anything that should have put him on notice that tasering someone twice was a violation. And the conduct wasn't so egregious that any reasonable officer would have known that it was unlawful, which is the standard.
I would kind of step in here with a little bit of a dose of common sense, though. I mean, an 11-year-old girl who has stopped, that is not running, who is apparently being prepared to be taken into custody anyways, using a taser on an 11-year-old child?
And that's what the Supreme Court said. They said, you know, look, no, there weren't any analogous cases or laws on the book, But the other thing you look at is common sense. Would the conduct be so egregious that any reasonable officer would have known that that was unlawful? And what the Supreme Court said was, yes, it could be that. They're not making a determination on whether or not it is, because that's for the lower court and for a jury to decide, because it's an issue of fact. But what the Supreme Court was saying is that that has to be considered. You can't just say, no, it's not so egregious, because given the facts, it could be.
So now it goes back down to the lower court for a possible trial. Is that what's going to happen?
Yes, because the issues of fact have to be determined. You know, was she really stopped? Was she trying to resist? And those all will play into whether or not what he did was reasonable.
Okay. Karen Gudnan, thanks a lot.
Thank you.